All right, why don't we begin gathering around and be seated so we can begin. This is one of those meetings you know can't go too long because there's a service that follows this. So. Call this meeting of the annual parish to order. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, source of all wisdom and understanding, be present with those who take counsel in the annual meeting for the renewal and mission of your church. Teach us in all things to seek first your honor and glory. Guide us to perceive what is right, and grant us both the courage to pursue it and the grace to accomplish it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have designated Mary Kruger to act as secretary of the meeting, and Patrick Berquist and Robert Gutteil will act as inspectors of the election. And now it's my privilege to call upon the warden, Liza Page Nelson.
Good morning, and welcome to our 2018 annual meeting. It's hard to believe that this time last year, we were welcoming Dean Wolfe on his very first day at St. Bart's. It's been an exciting year, and not without some challenges, but that's pretty typical for us at St. Bart's. So it's been really good to have Dean with us and leading St. Bart's as our 13th rector. Today, we will cover some highlights of 2017 and a bit about the year ahead. Dean will share some of the vision for St. Bart's future. There'll be time for Q&A. We're also going to elect some new vestry leaders and say goodbye to others. But first, I need to give an overview of our election process. Ballot boxes are on the tables in the north and south transepts under the balconies. You'll also find there the ballots themselves, pencils to fill out the ballots, and the election brochure with brief biographies of the vestry nominees. These biographies are the same as you may have seen on the website. If you did not get an election brochure on your way in, those are also available by the ballot boxes on the tables. We have one candidate for warden for a 2-year term, John Gilliland. John has just completed a 3-year term as vestry and has been chair of our Planning and Budget Committee in addition to serving on other committees. John, would you please stand and let people see who you are? We have two candidates for initial 3-year terms as vestry members, Kathleen Brighton and Keith Rook. Kathleen has served on the vestry previously and as our treasurer, and Keith served 3 years as stewardship co-chair. Kathleen and Keith, would you please let people see who you are? Thank you. And we have three candidates for second 3-year terms as vestry members, Peter Domenical, Mary Kruger, and Susanna Wade Lewis. All have served well on various vestry committees. Peter just co-chaired a forum on faith and science. Susanna served on our rector search committee with that committee's former chair, Mary Kruger, and Mary has once again said yes when called and is co-chairing St. Bart's Centennial Committee with Tim Collins. May I ask you all to stand? Thank you. And now any other vestry who are present who would like to say hello. Thank you. According to our bylaws, to vote in this election, you must be a communicant in good standing, as defined in the canons of the Episcopal Church. The actual canonical language defines qualified voters as follows. Persons of the age of 18 years or more belonging to the parish, who have been baptized and are regular attendants of its worship and contributors to its support for at least 12 months prior to an annual election. You know who you are. The polls are open and will remain so until 12 o'clock. at which time our two election inspectors will collect and count the ballots for the certification process. Ballots for qualified voters who attended the 8 and the 9 a.m. services and placed their ballots in boxes will be treated as absentee votes. In addition to the election brochures, people should have received the 2017 annual report, a 2017 financial report on their way in. Ushers have additional copies if you didn't get them and want them. And now I'm pleased to turn the floor over to my fellow warden, Peter Kendall, to take us through some of the highlights of last year.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to present a kind of look back over 2017, really kind of focused on the two very important responsibilities of the vestry. One is to provide kind of financial oversight, and the second is really what we've been doing to keep this building together. It's a marvelous load of stone and bricks, but it costs quite a bit of money to maintain it. So I'll just touch on that very briefly. So for those that were here at the 9 o'clock, as our rector indicated, one of the great good news of the last year is that we achieved our stewardship goal. So please, a little round of applause to everyone for that. As Liza alluded to, 2017 was a tricky year, and like most years, there's a bit of a swings and roundabouts going on, but certainly achieving our stewardship goal was very gratifying and critically important. As everyone knows, that provides a good deal of the funding for everything that goes on in the church. Some of our other sources of income, and I think everyone's sort of familiar with the fact that our inside park, the Sodexo-run cafe, restaurant, our preschool, the rentals that we do, both of the church, the athletic facilities, and so on. Really, the preschool, the restaurant, and the athletic facilities pretty much came on budget, so that's good. We had a couple of issues. First, with the rental of the church and community house, which this year, or I should say 2017, was really over 50% down. Now, sometimes it's hard to know exactly. You know, there was no big event in the church, but we think that perhaps having the scaffolding, both on the dome and later in the year on the community house, and also the fact that the Waldorf closed cut down a bit on the potential for rentals. So we were off, you know, as I say, over 50% on the rentals, and that's an important chunk of income. So probably around a couple of $100,000 we missed our plan. The second, and by the way, you can follow this if you care to in the insert, the financial insert that just shows all the annual numbers. But the second piece was our summer camp for children, and we had a competitor open up just up the street at the synagogue, and that affected the kind of top line revenue, and we were a little slow in responding to that, and as a result, we missed our budget for the year. So that was about another 80,000. So overall, we actually, you know, we came down by something like $300,000 in total, in terms of the total income coming into the church. So that was, you know, around 6%. And so that was something that clearly was a bit of an issue. But fortunately, on our expense items, as we've done in years past, we actually came in under budget. So a lot of the loss of income was made up by savings and expenses, particularly on personnel, wages and salaries, and some program savings as well. So we made up almost the entire loss of the income from other earnings streams, and we ended up the year in total about 30,000 off our budgeted number. So that was pretty good, in fact, considering everything and some of the headwinds we were facing. So we ended up, as I say, slightly off budget, and we had budgeted a modest loss of around 330,000 for the year. So all in all, I think we are quite happy with that, and very pleased, obviously, with the stewardship result. So I think it was a good year in terms of the financial overview. Now we did quite a bit in terms of capital investment in the church. Everyone is familiar with the fact that we completed the refurbishment of the dome, which was a tremendous project, and we ended up something like 250,000 under the total budget of 6 million for the dome. And that went really like clockwork and went extremely well. And when we get to light the dome, we'll see it better at night, and that'll be coming sometime over the course of the year. But we were very pleased with the outcome, and I think you only have to sort of look at the dome from a couple of blocks away, and it really is a fantastic, it just is something to behold, I have to say. We also, as you recall, rebuilt and restored the celestial organ. It was an opportunity, as we had to sort of remove it and protect it from all the work. We decided to refurbish that, and that was obviously completed. And we had a couple of other things going on. We had some facade work on the community house. And when I say facade work, it's not just an odd brick or two that gets out of place. This is replacing and refurbishing some steel and major construction and restoring the south wall of the community house. And we also replaced a wall up on the roof that was part of the outdoor playground for the preschool up there. So, you know, we continue, as funds become available, to keep pushing and restoring this wonderful church and the buildings that they're a part of. But I think with that, and I'm just sort of looking back, and I'd say that, it was a good, solid year. And I think, as Liza alluded to, this is Dean's first year, and I think it was a great one. And he'll talk a little more about the future going forward. But I think that's it. And certainly, as Liza mentioned, we can answer questions in more detail towards the end. So thank you very much.
Just because I've seen Raquel Murray and Corey and some members of our building committee, the dome came in more like $500,000 under budget. Just some great work by many people to deliver that. So I wanted to acknowledge that. It's traditional at our annual meeting to acknowledge and thank those St. Bartians who included the church in their wills. We remember four from last year: Virginia Bauer, Sheila Moran, Beryl White, and Lee Usry. We greatly appreciate these gifts that were unrestricted. The vestry typically directs unrestricted bequests for restoring and refurbishing our buildings and to replenish our endowment. These gifts have been enormously valuable over the years, and we're extremely grateful to those who give them. So this is a plug for the Mosaic Society. Anyone can join. All you need to do is send an email or a letter to St. Bart's saying that you have included St. Bart's in your will. Think of it as a painless way to give while you're alive. The annual meeting is also a great time to thank people for their support of St. Bart's. St. Bart's could not be what it is without you. So thank you to all who have so generously supported St. Bart's with monetary gifts. Thank you to all who have supported St. Bart's with the gifts of your time and talent as volunteers. And thank you also to Doug Tanner, who has completed service as a vestry member and for his continuing service as our chancellor. Doug is in Morocco, but I'm sure he's here in spirit with us. One more person to acknowledge and thank is our warden, Peter Kendall, who is stepping down after 10 years on the vestry. You'll get to clap again, because now I'm going to embarrass him. So of the 10 years, 8 of that was as warden in 4 terms. Peter's steady leadership has seen St. Bart's through a financial crisis, restoration of the dome, times in our nation and the world that have been uncertain, some demographic and sociological headwinds for mainline religions. The Episcopal Church is no exception. And transitions. There have been easy ones, like going from pews to chairs. We had 2 rectors retire, an interim who came and went. We called Dean, and he joined us, and we have all been hard at work to position St. Bart's for a sustainable future. That work is underway. It is no wonder, then, that Peter and his wife, Lisa, are soon to head off for 40 days and 40 nights in faraway places where we cannot reach them. And along the way, one of Peter's sons was married here. 3 grandchildren were born. Mm-hmm. Peter himself got married at St. Bart's and made the great migration from the West Side to the Upper East Side. During my 6 years on the vestry, Peter's leadership has been extraordinary to witness. Our time as fellow wardens has been short, but more rewarding than I could have imagined. And our partnership has enhanced the already great respect that I share with the vestry and Dean for Peter's intellect and perspective, his integrity, his generosity and dedication to St. Bart's, and he's really funny just when you need him to be. So now, not only for myself, but also for St. Bart's, Peter, thank you for sharing these gifts and yourself with us. Congratulations on a job well done. And can we join in giving Peter a great St. Bartian standing O?
Thank you very much. Thank you. I do have a smile on my face. And I'll just be very brief, but I thought, I've served on the vestry actually, and I forgot the earlier time on the vestry that I served in the early 90s when Tom Bowers was here, but it's been, 4 rectors, 3 rectors as warden and an interim rector. It's been a great trip, and as Liza said, it's had its ups and downs, and this is just a wonderful faith community, and I just feel incredibly fortunate and lucky just to serve with my fellow wardens, Liza and Anne Rubino, who retired last year, and the vestry over the years, and of course the rectors and staff here at St. Bart's. It's just been a great experience and something that stays with you forever. I don't have, Anne will recall, one retiring warden who regaled the nave with a sort of 20-minute load of advice and everything else. And I'm certainly not going to do that. I would, though, just say, as to my retirement, it isn't like retiring from a company or something like that. people who thought that I'd wave goodbye and be gone for any evermore will be disappointed, because I will return after my 40 days, 40 nights on the road on a vacation. But my only advice really is that this is a wonderful faith community, and you know, I just encourage. I have a great deal of confidence in where we're going under our new rector and our new leadership. We have flourished and done well as a community and grown as a community, and I think that is going to continue in spades. And I would just encourage people that are here and others that aren't here that, you know, to the extent that members of our community can put their oars in the water and help row our proverbial boat, the better off we'll all be. And to the extent that you can give your talents and gifts, God-given gifts, to this church, you'll get more out of it, and you really will reap what you sow. So that's worked for me, and I know it's worked for lots of other people who I see who are on the vestry. And others. It's a great opportunity and great privilege to work for this church. So with that, I will say thank you very much, and it's not a total goodbye, but I'm going to enjoy coming back just in time for Easter. So thank you.
You're probably eager to hear from Dean, so I won't take long to set the stage. You may remember our parish survey, the roundtables, and the profile. They all had a lot to say about what we as a parish, what we thought St. Bart's was, what we hoped it could be, where we hoped we might go. With that in mind, Dean and the vestry really started digging in this fall to take all of that and to do the work to translate those hopes into meaningful yet practical plans for St. Bart's so we can thrive in the evolving context in which St. Bart's lives. Now, Dean reminds us to keep the vision and the aspirations for the long term in heart and mind, even as we define strategic priorities and specific actions for the immediate and near term. So Dean can tell us about that.
All right. Thank you. It is such a privilege to work with such dedicated lay leaders. And, as a bishop, I'm used to working with wardens, but it's a very different kind of relationship. And I've really enjoyed this aspect of working at St. Bart's. So what if? What if? What if we dreamed God's dream for the church? What if a people of prayer believed their prayers could change everything? What if our deepest prayers were fulfilled? What if a church became more than its history, more than its building? What if fear and hesitancy were overcome by faith and a commitment to decisive action? What if a community of faith made a larger difference in the world? What if we could change the world in the name of Christ? What if? What then? When I came now almost exactly a year ago, I preached about salt and light. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can saltiness be restored? You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid." So when you talk to people at St. Bart's and you ask what their aspirations are, when you read the profile that I responded to be your rector, one of the things we said we wanted to be a place of holy and transcendent worship. And then we said we wanted to be a welcoming community of radical engagement. We wanted to be a place of spiritual and intellectual growth, a place of service and advocacy, a place of generosity and abundance, a place where everyone is welcome, a cathedral to the city and a light for the world. Yeah, I got to be careful about that cathedral thing because there's one up north town here, but a cathedral to Midtown Manhattan. So if we're trying to do those things, if that's, you know, a larger kind of vision, what are the priorities for the next 12 to 18 months? How do we do more of this? So one of the things that I notice and you notice is that, you know, you can look out, and this is, of course, a place where if you don't have 400 people in here, it feels empty. So I think an actor or actress might say, this is a tough house. We need to have these pews, these seats filled. And the only way I think that's going to happen is for those of you who come to invite people who don't come to join you. I'd like to say there's a sophisticated, fancy, secret evangelism plan that nobody else knows. But the studies say that Episcopalians invite someone to church on average once every 35 years. That may be optimistic. We can't continue to do that. I think that there's something here to see and to be a part of. I think our music programs are beautiful. I think we're working on educational programs. I think we're working on the preaching. I think there's something to offer here. So reinvigorating the worship experience is a part of it. You might say, well, we have a great worship experience. Well, yes, but we're going to need a variety of different kinds of worship experiences because the worship experience that you might come to might not be the one that someone younger would come to or someone older would come to. We want to translate radical welcome to radical engagement. I'm so indebted to Tim Collins for introducing us to this really core concept. It's not enough, really, to welcome someone. You've got to welcome them to something. So the creation of small groups is one of the priorities of the Centennial Committee. Enhance teaching and learning, more opportunities for outreach and advocacy, reinforcing the children and youth programming. Every now and then someone will say, and I get this, I understand it, they'll say, maybe we should just kind of throw in the towel because, you know, we're not a neighborhood church. We're not like some other churches around. We don't have as many small children and families. And I'm thinking you can't do that if you're going to be a great church. And we seek to be a great church. And a part of that is having a really strong children, youth, and family program. Part of that is having a really strong adult education program. Part of that is having an exuberant outreach program. All of those are building blocks to a great church. And, you know, I used to go to parishes in Kansas, and I would ask them, what's your number one goal? And they'd say, to grow. And I'd say, who's in charge of that? And they'd point to somebody in a collar. And I'd say, who else is in charge of that? And they would say, no one. And I'd say, how much money have you dedicated to this priority? None. Are you reading or doing any kind of program that will help you know more about how you might grow? No. Do you have any kind of systematic plan for growth? No. So let me get this straight. Your number one priority has no lay leader, no money behind it, no plan, no reading program. What's your number two priority? What's funny is I did that in I don't know how many churches, maybe all of them. And at the end of the time there, I realized that nobody really picked that up. It's actually one of the reasons that I wanted to return to the parish. I want to see if this works. And I think it does. I think that people who are on fire for Christ have a way of changing the people around them and changing the institution they're part of until it's something that we're proud of as an offering back to the God who gave it to us. Okay, so a couple things just to remember. We got a few things going for us, okay? The Episcopal Church claims an evolving theology, reiterating the values of a diverse, inclusive Jesus movement. If you weren't an Episcopalian and you were looking at the Christian tradition, wouldn't you want to be? I mean, how many of you, I'll raise my hand first, came from another tradition in Christianity to the Episcopal Church because this church had a place for you and for everyone? That's what we're about. And I'm telling you, there's a generation of young people who don't know we're here yet, but when they know about us, this will be the expression of Christianity they will be most drawn to. So look at our place. I mean, isn't this cool? Every Sunday I come in here, I can't help but at least once in the worship to look around and think, literally, oh my God, I am so privileged to get to worship in a place like this. This place, even when I'm feeling kind of crabby and sour, makes me think about the holy and the divine. This building actually makes me a better person. And that might be strange to think about, but for Christians, this building housing this altar, this is the center of a universe for us. We made the decision a while back. You all made the decision. You had to actually confront it. Are we gonna double down on this building, or are we gonna go to a shopping mall someplace, or you know, a storefront, or other creative things? That was a fair question to ask. But you saw the value in the ministry that can happen in this building. And I support that and will defend that to anyone. Who was it? I think it was Churchill who said, "We build our buildings and then they turn around and shape us." And so this is a building built 100 years ago and it's shaping us today. We have this tradition of radical hospitality and risk-taking for the sake of the gospel. I tried to describe a typical St. Bartian. See if this works. A spiritual, down-to-earth, diversity-seeking, expansive, bold, compassionate, passionate, aesthetically oriented, intellectual, well-educated, faithful, demographically and theologically varied, and resourceful. Is that pretty good? You know, you all are smart. You all have gifts. And I don't want you for a minute to think. And I get this every now and then, and I'm off script, but let me just say, we are not going down. Okay? Let's just get this. Every now and then, you know, somebody, I've had, you know, members of the hierarchy of the church, they won't be named, who's put their hand on my shoulder and said, "Oh, Dean, bless your heart. Taking on St. Bart's." I'm like, are you out of your mind? This church is going to make a difference in the next generation in the same way that it made a difference in the last generations. There is no reason for us to take a step back behind anyone or anything. Are you feeling me on this? I used to say, let the congregation say amen, but we won't go there. So, the old joke, we have every resource we need to do the ministry we're called to do in this place. Except that most of those resources are still in the pockets of our parishioners. Now, we talk about being generous a lot because we ask for a great deal of generosity. This community, it requires it in order for us to be solvent. And I am so grateful to so many of you who have given sacrificially. I try to sign those notes myself because I know it means something to write a check like that to this place. And I want you to know that every dollar you send to us is well cared for, that we are pulling the copper off of every penny that you give us. And I want you to know that it's deeply appreciated. But I also want you to know that we can't give to this church because this church needs it. We need to be giving to this church because we need to express our thanks and our gratitude to a God who has given us everything. And any of you who think you're self-made men or women, please come speak to me afterwards, and I will disabuse you of this concept. We've worked really hard, but God gave us all of this, and we can afford. We can afford to be generous to God in return. Okay. Offer creative liturgies to nurture our desire for diversity. Maintain the highest musical standards while expanding a variety of musical experiences. We're going to build Wednesday evening as an anchor evening for people who are in this neighborhood Monday through Friday and away on the weekends. We're going to enhance the Wednesday service. We're going to offer a meal after it and offer fresh educational opportunities on Wednesday nights. We'll continue to offer daily morning and evening prayer, but we need more people to help us to do that. This is a church where you should be able to walk in off the street and find every day, 365 days a year, morning prayer, noontime Eucharist, and evening prayer. Because we've been given this treasure, and we need to share it with other people. We need to continue to explore ways to respond liturgically to local, national, and global events. So I've got a little game in preaching. I'm not the best preacher, but we're going to get some really good preachers to visit every now and then, so when I'm feeling like I've really done something good, I can hear that sermon and go, man, I've got a long way to go. I think having periodically a great preacher in this space will change some things. And we have wonderful staff, you know. It just you need to hear a different voice every now and then. And this is a national pulpit that needs to be heard. And so we're going to work on that and having forum speakers that are at that same level. We'll be raising money for that. We're finding some money for that. But I think that is an important part of what we're doing. Okay. We need to redesign the process for when you come in here because some people are getting lost as they come in and try to find a place here. I used to work for a rector that said, I want to be like a duck on a June bug when somebody walks through the door. I never knew exactly what that meant, but I think it means you want to enthusiastically welcome newcomers and make sure that they feel connected here. I did something internally which, you know, won't mean a lot to some of you. It's kind of inside baseball. But I asked Raquel Murray. Raquel, stand up. This is our new parish administrator. Lynn Sanders. You know her, you love her, now she's your vicar. These two people are going to help me administratively be more present to the preaching and teaching of this place and to the necessary fundraising, which, just so you know, I joke about it sometimes, but they could not have been more honest about that being part of the gig here. So I really appreciated that, and that means a lot. So I looked at Bill Tully's plan for the church, and I'm telling you, I could have erased his name and put my name on it. I mean, it was good. It still is good. I looked at some of the work that Buddy Stallings did, same thing. I could have put my name on it. It's not that we're short on vision here. Oh my gosh, have we got people with vision. What we've been a little short on is execution. So if anything I talk about is not all that exciting, just to imagine it actually happening and what the implications of that would be. And we're going to put some really clear parameters on accomplishing and achieving these goals. I think that's going to be really important for us. And it can't be done. This is kind of a staff-driven kind of culture, except that you have many fewer staff than you once had. So now this is going to have to be a lay-driven leadership culture. And there are plenty of examples of that in terms of the search committee and the vestry. But we're going to do more and more of that kind of work. And guess what? That actually is a lot more like the kind of ministry that I think Christ envisioned with his disciples. You know, everybody took an oar. Everybody had a place. Everybody's vote counted. Everybody's effort meant something. And so there are going to be fewer and fewer back rows in this church. And I think a lot of you, I pray that a lot of you, have been waiting to be asked to do something. And I promise you, we will be asking you to do something. This is the most interesting time when I talk to other clergy that that most of us have experienced. And we have the great privilege of being the church in a moment of great transition. And I am not afraid, and you shouldn't be either. We have been given a great thing to do, and by God, literally, we shall do it. Thank you. Thank you.
So at this time, we open the floor to questions, comments. We have a microphone. If you have not yet voted, please do. Polls are open till noon, so through the 11 a.m. service.
Let me just say that this is a draft still, and I'm taking input, and so please let me know what you think. And we will be printing this in some form for you to reflect on. And if you have questions you don't want to ask them now, just give us a call, and we'd be happy to talk to you about that. And I've got people coming to the mic.
Hi, Dean. I'm Will Yates. There we go. Hi.
Hey, Will.
Well, thank you. You mentioned the centennial and the folks that are working on it. I know Tim is leading that effort. Okay, I'll stay on the mic. There. I won't turn.
Sorry.
It just strikes me that the centennial is the greatest opportunity the church has right now for highlighting who we are, what our brand is, and what we can do for this city. So I'm hoping to hear more about what the centennial effort is undertaking and how that ties into what it is you want to achieve.
Thank you. I completely agree, and Mary and Tim have a kind of an all-star cast, and I don't know if you want to say anything now or
So Will was sitting right behind me, so I did not ask him to ask that question.
So this is Tim Collins, who is co-chair of our Centennial Committee.
Thank you, Liza. So Mary and I have been hard at work, along with a number of co-chairs and a committee of about 20. And in the next couple of weeks, you'll be receiving a letter from Mary and I with a description of a number of the activities we have planned throughout 2018. It will culminate, of course, with the actual centennial of our first service in this building in October. But before then, we're going to have a number of activities that will give you opportunities to know and meet others. We're planning just a couple of teasers. We want to have 100 celebrations of St. Bart's throughout 2018. 100 celebrations, breakfast, brunch, lunch, dinner, cocktails, in your home or in the community. So how's that for a gospel-sized risk? 100 parties.
Yeah.
We also want to show others ways that they can serve. So we have a program called 100 Ways to Serve. So we'll be highlighting ways that people are serving others and opportunities that others can get involved in. And then we'll have a number of activities in October. So expect a letter, actually, what, Mary, in the next 2 weeks? So it'll be a detailed description of what we have planned for the year.
And every time you get an invitation to something related to the centennial, think about who you'd like to invite to come join you. Who in your building, who among your friends at work, who in your family might want to come and be a part of that.
And if I may, to speak a little more specifically to your question, Will, so there is a communications branding part of this plan. You may have noticed that we are more active in social media than St. Bart's used to be. Kara Flannery, our director of communications, has been doing great work there. So we're going to try to use this as exactly the opportunity that you described.
Hi, I'm Retta Blaney. I just wanted to pick up on what Dean just said. Marble Collegiate has a formalized kind of program. About twice a year, they have a lot of they have a fun thing that it's called Bring a Friend to Church Sunday. And the people in the congregation love their church, so it raises awareness to, I mean, we say bring a friend, but if you have a set day for that, people do bring friends, and then they're recognized at the service, and afterwards we give them a little goodie bag, or they give them a little goodie bag that has a pen and a notepad and some information, and they come back. So it might be fun sometime to have a bring a friend to church Sunday.
Well, I think that's a great idea, and it's been suggested, and we just need to put one of those on the calendar wherever Lynn is. Write that down, because I think it's a fun thing. Also, some churches are doing a social media day, so when they encourage you to tweet and text from church and to take pictures and connect to your social network. Anything else for the good of the community? This conversation will continue, so yeah. If you didn't get it in today, just know that we'll be talking more and more about this. Liza?
I think it's time to get ready for the 11 o'clock service. Thank you all for your attention and presence here today.
I declare this meeting concluded. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.